And if you've got a Bible to hand, do grab one. And we're going to be reading from the book of Zephaniah in chapter 3. So this is where, if you've got a church Bible, it's really handy. It's on page 946, 947. If you've got another Bible with you, if you find the back of the Old Testament, flick back a few books, you should get eventually to Zephaniah. So Zephaniah, we're just going to read the final few paragraphs of this book. So picking up at verse 14. This is what Zephaniah writes. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He's turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I'll rescue the lame. I'll gather the exiles. I'll give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I'll give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Let me just ask for God's help as we open that passage together. Lord, thank you so much that you're a speaking God who speaks clearly in his word. And we pray that as we hear from you and as we hear about you today, that that will encourage us and strengthen us for this year to come, as we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some churches have a motto text that they use for the year. Maybe some of you have been in churches where that happens. A text that everybody learns. It appears on their different communications. Maybe gets preached on and spoken about a few times. We don't currently do that at Beeston Free. Maybe we've done it in the past. But if we did, if you wanted a text to really sort of focus your mind for the year ahead, a text to really press in to your lives during the year, then this text here in Zephaniah 3:17 would be a great choice. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17 is the text I want to look at and get into this morning. I'm sure some of you have put away your Christmas decorations this past week or are just about to do that. And particularly if you've got an artificial tree, I don't know if you get this same problem happening every year, that you can kind of get the tree out of the box, but getting it packed away into the box it came in can be a real pain to just, can you fold the branches down enough to be able to get them back into the box and get it put away back up in the loft or wherever you keep it? You seem to have more content than box. And this text feels a little bit like that. There's a real squashing into this one text of a whole load of valuable truth for us to think about in just a few sentences. Well, this morning I want to just sort of open up the box and let the truth spill out and listen to what God says to us here and to take a good look at it together. And the reason why is because this text is a real wonderful antidote to fear and to uncertainty. Verse 16 says that on that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, do not fear. And it's been said many times that that command in the Bible is one that the Lord gives more than any other. Do not fear, or do not be afraid, or take courage, which is really reassuring to start with, because many of us are afraid. Many of us are nervous or anxious about what lies ahead. Sure, for many of us, there are things we're concerned about or nervous about or anxious about as we're sat here right at the beginning of 2022, whether that's to do with the world in general or to do with situations going on in our personal lives. And so it's a great encouragement to know that the Bible says over and over to us, do not fear. And it doesn't just give us a command, it gives us the reasons why that can be the case. So often we are driven or dominated by what we're afraid of. We're fearful of people, we're fearful of situations. because we're no longer in the garden. We're not in Eden anymore. Eden was safe. The garden was protected, but now we're east of Eden. We're out into the wilderness. Now we're in a world where difficulty comes along. Challenges are everywhere. They're all around us. And so we need encouragement. We need courage as we face our fears. Book of Zephaniah, if you read it through later, it's a lot about judgment for God's people and for the nations. There's lots to be anxious about, but the book finishes on this note of hope and reassurance. And that's what I want us to tap into this morning. I think there's at least four great realities for us to grasp from verse 17. Realities that will give us courage and confidence in God, whatever lies ahead for us in 2022. First reality is this. The first reality is the Lord your God is with you. That's the very first phrase in verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. And that, if you're familiar with the Bible, you will know that's the great repeating covenant promise of God that comes over and over, that he will be with his people. Who knows what isolation might come along again? Some of you tuning in this morning, I guess, are doing that because you're having to isolate. Some of you have done that over the past few weeks. You've had to keep your distance from others for a while. But we never keep distance from him. He never has to keep himself away because he's got infected, or to avoid us because we are. That's never our situation. The Lord is our God, and he is always with his people. That's always true. Now, there are times where our sense of that is very different. Our sense of that might be greater than others. There are times when what is happening in our lives and in our experience might make us wonder or question if he is there after all. But he is always, always there. I've been looking at a bit of new furniture this week, and we saw some furniture which had a 20-year guarantee on it, which my brother-in-law, who works in the furniture business, says is a very good guarantee to have. But that's 20 years for furniture. God's guarantee to never leave us or forsake us is lifetime guarantee. Like beyond that, even eternal guarantee. Doesn't ever, ever stop. It doesn't mean he's going to prevent every difficult situation for you in 2022. Doesn't mean we're not going to face problems or things that we really don't want to face. Doesn't mean he always steps in like a sort of personal bodyguard to stop us being hassled or having any difficulty, but he is there. He's there. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've been really afraid, but the person who is with you has made all the difference. Perhaps you can remember being a really little child and you're, say, in the middle of a really busy city, say, in the middle of London, and you're packed into a tube train and it's very busy and it's very hectic. You're walking along the dark streets, but it felt fine. You felt safe because Dad was holding your hand and you're walking along with him because he was there and because he had you. Well, God is with us today. And he's holding on to you really tight. And I say that because if we belong to Christ, we are God's children. That's how he sees us. And he's promised never to be an absent father. So guys, whatever your anxiety today, whether that is a distressing family relationship, whether it's a pretty difficult manager in your office that you're having to work for at the moment, whether it's parents who are getting older and unable to cope on their own anymore, whether it's some changes that will be needed this year, whether it's a new job that's just about to kick off for you, you don't face any of that alone. He is with you. He's with you. So first reason for courage, first reason for strength is the Lord our God is with us. But we don't want to stop there, do we? Because it gets better than that. So let's carry on with the text. Second reality, the Lord your God is mighty to save. He's the mighty warrior who saves. Over Christmas, we've been able to catch up with some family, I suspect like you have, but unfortunately, we couldn't see my sister because they went down with, well, you know what, just a few days before Christmas, and so we didn't get to see her and her family. So we didn't get to see my nephew Reuben, who's year 8 now. When we saw him on Zoom, it looks like he's still got the family genes, which means he's still very short, and he hasn't yet grown up. So he's still quite small for his age. But Reuben really loves football, like loves football. He's an Arsenal fan, poor guy, but you know, that is what it is. But he loves his football and he plays for his team on a Saturday morning. Now in January, I'm thinking of organising a little game. And in this game, it's going to be Reuben and his Saturday morning football team and they are going to play these mighty champions who are coming up now. The Beeston Free football team. That is a pick from a few years ago. They've not got any better. Now, Reuben and his friends, they will be very enthusiastic. They will be all in for the game. They will play their hearts out. They will run all day, unlike some of these chaps. But I am pretty sure that up against the Beeston Free Church team, Reuben and his mates will lose. I'm not certain of that, but I'm pretty sure that will be the case. But imagine, instead of Reuben playing with his team, I got on the phone and I had a little chat with Pep Guardiola, because me and Pep go back a long way. So he owes me a favour or two, to be honest. So I call up Pep and I say, look, Pep, can a few of your players come and play? And he says, yeah, the Man City first team can come and play. I'll rest Grealish for this one. I'll let Reuben take his place on the team. Now, the Beeston Free team is obviously, as you can see, well kitted out, well drilled, well managed. Some would say well past it, but I imagine... Oh, some of you are groaning as if like they need sympathy. But I imagine that Reuben and the Manchester City first team will comfortably beat the Beeston Free football team. It will be no contest. We'll see how that works out later in the month. You see, it's great to have somebody alongside you who is rooting for you and enthusiastic. And Reuben could have all his mates and they would be really keen and they would play really well. They could have me cheering them on the sidelines, but they are going to be no match for Beeston Free. But once you put De Bruyne and Rodri and Sterling and all the rest of them alongside Reuben, then that's a totally different matter. The Lord God who is with us is not just a great cheerleader. He's not just enthusiastic and willing and good company. He is a mighty warrior who saves. That's the God he is. We don't just have his presence, but we have his power today. Zephaniah says he's mighty. He's not somebody to lack power. He's a mighty warrior, so he doesn't shy away from a battle. He's not the kind of friend who talks a really good game and then when it comes down to it, is a little bit flaky and doesn't come through for you. The Lord will fight for us. And he saves. He doesn't just try really hard, but he saves. He's successful. He wins. Guys, this morning he's done the biggest thing by beating sin. He has delivered us from Satan's grip. We're no longer under sin, but under grace. Sin is paid for. Guilt's removed. Sin's power is broken. Yes, he's still saving us. And yes, sin still bothers us. Yes, there's still so much to do in our life. But God is working to save us. He sent his son to take our punishment and to defeat the devil. And he's still a God who is mighty to save. And that's our confidence heading into 2022, that the Lord our God is not only with us, but he's fighting our battles. He's a mighty warrior who saves us. But we don't want to stop there, do we? Because the text goes on. There is a third reality. It gets even better than that. The Lord your God takes delight in you. He will take great delight in you, says the text. You know, you can be with somebody because you promised to be with them. You're committed to them, you promised to be there, so you turn up. You can help somebody because they really need your help and you've got the power to do it. But you can do all that without really being committed to them in love. But the Lord is not that way with us. So he will take great delight in you. Or another version says he will rejoice over you with gladness. How does God feel about his people today? How does he feel about Beeston Free Church and those who are gathered here today? As we head into 2022, how does he view us? He delights in his people. He has joy in his children. He doesn't sort of reluctantly point down to Beeston Free Church this morning and say, oh, these ones are mine. He's glad to call you his. He celebrates his people. I don't know if some of you got to go to a Christmas concert and maybe you got to hear a family member or a friend play an instrument or act in a performance. I used to attend the Alderman White performance every year as Harry was in the band. Some of you I know are great fans of the Alderman White annual celebration. Now, I am pretty sure that although I enjoyed the various performances to different levels, I only really ever focused on Harry. Like, he was the performer I was looking at. He was the one I was focused on. You know, even in the year when he was last back after the interval, not wearing any shoes for some reason, even then, he was the focus of my attention. The Lord delights in us because we're his children. Not because of what you do for him, but because of who you are to him. You're his children. Not because we always do the right thing, but because he's in love with his people. What do we delight in? We delight in the things or the people we find most precious. And the text tells us we bring God joy here. Bringing joy. He rejoices over us. That's a stunning thing, isn't it? Like, that is absolutely stunning, that you bring him joy. That he's not just tolerating you, not just putting up with you, not giving a heavy sigh when he thinks about you. His face lights up when he thinks about you. That's how he feels about you. Because he's covered your sin, because you've got an impeccable righteousness, because he's brought you into the family. And he loved you while you were still a sinner. Even before he'd begun to do his work of saving you and changing you, he loved you. His people bring him joy. When it comes to our children, we don't just delight in them when they've done something particularly good. We delight in them because they're our children. The Lord will not delight in us in this year based on what we do for him, what we achieve, what we get done, who we witness to, how we serve him. But for all of us, God's delight comes because we're his children. This book of Zephaniah, if you read it, it's all about what the people have not done, how they've not served him, how they've not been honouring, and yet God says he still delights in them. Ellie was listening to a message just before Christmas, and the preacher was saying that the consistent battle is for us to believe what God says about us. That's our constant battle this year. That's what you're going to wrestle with, to believe what God actually says about us. And his kind of colourful description of that was, if we really believed we are God's children, that would be punching the devil in the face. If you want to punch the devil in the face a bit more in 2022, believe what God says about you, that you're his children and you're delighted in. That's who you are. We'll lack courage. We'll struggle to go on. We'll give in to fear when we stop appreciating that God is passionately for us. So what is this love of God like for us? The next little phrase unpacks it a little bit more. It's a pretty tough phrase to translate. The NIV has it here: in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. If you're looking at another version, it might say he will quiet you by his love. Somebody has helpfully paraphrased it this way: he becomes quiet as he reflects on his deep affection for you. He becomes quiet as he reflects on his deep affection for you. Whichever way you read it, whichever translation is right, there's a quietness connected to God's love for us, a quietness. And it seems to me that that is the silence of contentment. That's the silence that says we're really good together. So it's a bit like the silence that a happily married couple might enjoy. Like, I feel so at peace with you that we don't need to talk all the time. We don't need to fill the silence because we're just at peace with each other. So it's not disinterest quietness. It's a deep love and silence of security in relationship. So guys, this morning we are secure in that love and delight. That's our reality. It's not a delight that God needs to keep persuading himself of, you know, he's not having to kind of repeat, I do love them, I do love them, I do love them. It's a passionate quietness as he reflects on his deep affection for us. Your love this morning. And there will not be one day in 2022 when he stops loving you. Not one fraction of a second when he stops loving you. He loves you and he delights in you. So he's with us. He's a mighty warrior to save us. He delights in us. But it gets even better in the final phrase, the fourth reality. The fourth reality is that the Lord our God sings over us. So verse 17 doesn't end with this sort of silent delight. It ends with joyful, exuberant, singing over his people. I don't know whether you like to sing, but what do we tend to sing about? Or what is it about music and singing that makes it something we do instead of just speaking? Well, here's what one author said. Singing enables the soul to express deeply felt emotions that mere speaking cannot. Music infuses words with a dynamic energy that simply speaking them can never achieve. You see, the natural outlet for joy is singing, love expressing itself exuberantly. You see, singing engages our hearts in a way that perhaps just speaking can't do. That's why singing is such a key part of our worship together on a Sunday. But the point is this, God doesn't just speak over us, he sings over us. Like, do you want to know what God is doing this morning? He's singing over us, singing amongst us, singing with us. His joy for his people is so intense, it needs an outlet, and so he sings. And he's not singing the blues, he's singing celebration, it's praise, it's joy. He rejoices over you with singing. And I'd love that for that to just sink in a little bit with you this morning. That's our reality. He's not just with you, he's not just fighting for you, he's not just delighting you, he can't stop singing with joy about you. Ellie asked me about this. She says, but what does that really mean? What is he singing? What is he singing? Well, the same lyrics that he spoke over Jesus. Do you remember those lyrics that he spoke over Jesus? You're my son, you're my daughter, whom I love. That's what he's singing. That's the verse of his song. It's like the lullaby you sing over your newborn. It's like the poem written by a lover in a letter. It's like the singing of the football crowd when they take up the name of their favourite player. It's a song which says, the Lord so delights in us, he can't keep it to himself. He wants other people to know. The angels are listening into him singing over us. I guess in 2022, there'll be lots of change and uncertainty for some of us. Lots that could be really challenging for us in the year ahead. And that would all be overwhelming, except for these four realities about God this morning. That he's with us, that he's a mighty warrior able to save us, that he loves and delights in us, but best of all, he sings over us. You know, I know we can't hear the words. I know I can't give you a CD to take away this morning or a download that you could just take away the lyrics, but keep listening to him singing. Believe that he does. When you feel guilty because you've let him down, when you feel frustrated because it's been one of those weeks, when you feel fearful that you've got a difficult encounter coming up, keep listening to the song. Keep it on your daily playlist. Don't listen to the depressing songs of the devil who feeds in lies. Listen to this delightful song of the Father who sings this truth in, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're the one that I love. He rejoices over you with singing. I have no idea what's coming in 2022. I spoke about around New Year a couple of years ago, so end of 2019, and I said much the same. I really do not know what's coming. And we thought about how God's plans and our plans are really different. And months later, COVID and lockdown and all the rest came. I really don't know what's coming in 2022. But this is what we do know. This is what we do know. Our God is with us. Our God is a mighty warrior. Our God takes great delight in us. Our God rejoices over us. And those truths are good. Like, those are good. Those are solid. Those are certain for every day of 2022. Keep pressing them in. Keep singing that text to yourself in this year ahead. Keep that in the front of your hearts and minds in this year. Let me pray now that that will be the case. Let's pray. Father, these truths are wonderful truths. They are life-changing truths if they can make that long, long journey from our heads to our hearts. And so that's our prayer this morning, that they will do that. That, Lord, these truths that are so precious would sink into us. These truths about you being with us, the truth about you being a mighty warrior, the truth of your delighting love over us, and the truth that you are so full of joy about us, you can't keep that to yourself, you have to sing. Lord, let us know that those are not just truths on a text, but those are truths in reality. This is your truth for us this morning. And so please help us to live in the light of that in the year to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to use that opportunity to sing, to express our own heart and affection for our God as we stand and finish by singing together. Let's stand to sing.